Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the honour and pleasure of being joined by, I suppose, an old friend, I would say. We've known each other for quite a number of years now, Nagraj Kashyap, who is Corporate Vice President for Microsoft Ventures. Nagraj also is Chair of the Global Corporate Venturing Summit, which we're running in California in 2017. And I've got the honour of having Nagraj come to meet me at my GCV Academy in California as well on January the 23rd. So hi, Nagraj, after that introduction.
Hi, Andrew. Good to be speaking to you again.
Good. Thanks for joining us. It would be really good if you could give insights, please, to our listeners and readers. Give us a brief introduction to yourself in that first piece. You've got quite a track record in now Microsoft, but previously Qualcomm. So an introduction, please.
Absolutely. So, Andrew, I started my career as a software engineer, and I'm still sort of a recovering software engineer at this point, but I've moved on to a business role at previous companies, and then previous to Microsoft, I spent 12 years leading Qualcomm Ventures, and we grew the organization when I was there from three people and US-only focus to when I left, we were investing in seven different regions with over 150 portfolio companies and many, many good exits and many, many good strategic outcomes from Qualcomm. Some of the companies we invested in, Xiaomi, Waze, Fitbit, all of them very big successes, but also many more that had very good acquisitions. And so it's been a good journey so far in the venture capital industry, and now I took that experience and recently joined Microsoft at the end of January to start up the early stage corporate venturing group for Microsoft.
Excellent. So could you give us an introduction now then to the Microsoft fund and the relationship within Microsoft that you've just come in to lead?
Absolutely. So Microsoft has actually had a history of working with startups for a very long time. There's many programs that Microsoft has and has had in the past to work with startups, including the Microsoft Accelerator, the BizSpark program. And we also have historically invested, except that we have invested in the later stages, sort of the later rounds of a company coupled with a strategic business agreement. What I came in to do was to extend that relationship and working with startups, but more on the early side. And so the specific focus of the fund is to work with startups very early on, starting in a Series A round and beyond, without the requirement for any kind of strategic relationship with Microsoft at the time of the investment. Now, the relationship with Microsoft is very critical both for the fund and for the startups we invest in. So our promise is to provide access back to Microsoft for the investments we do to help them amplify their business using the relationship that Microsoft has, whether it's in the product side, the sales side, on the marketing side, and sort of help the companies we invest in to build a deeper relationship with Microsoft, but also with our ecosystem of partners that we have as part of the fund.
Right. So it's got a very strategic purpose there, or what's the financial objectives in that you've got with it?
The best way to think about it is, you know, we'll invest in companies that are financially viable and that a VC would invest in, but we will invest in them if and only if we can also help them as Microsoft. So we do look at financial return, and not in the terms of contributing to Microsoft's balance sheet necessarily, but as a screen for good companies to invest in. And the second criteria is really if we are able to amplify the business of the company we invest in with Microsoft's help, then that makes it a good investment for us. We don't invest if one of the two is not there. If the company is not, we think, a good financial investment, then we won't invest. And similarly, if we don't think we can add value from Microsoft perspective, then we won't invest.
Yeah, but I think that's a good point, because lots of corporates come into this and think it's either strategic or financial. And no, it's both, isn't it, as you've outlined in that there. Good. So what's the sort of size and plan for the fund, or expect the investment sort of size? Have you got a view? Are you public on that?
Yeah, we are not public on either the size or the plan for the fund. The best way to think about the fund is that we will invest as the opportunities come up. We were started, and I started it in end of January, and in the last 7 months or so, we have been very active. We closed our 9th investment a couple of days back. So it's been a good clip since we started. However, there is no target either for the number of investments or for the funds we have to deploy. It's really based on the companies we see and the opportunities we find out. If they're good companies and they fit the model I described earlier, then we'll take a run at investing in them. If not, it's fine. So there's really no set target. But I think the reception from the community has been overwhelming, both from the VCs and the startup side. There is a pent-up demand to work with Microsoft, so we've been seeing very, very good deal flow.
Excellent. And what are the key technologies or business models you're searching for and you're seeing opportunities in?
So broadly speaking, we have classified our focus areas into 5 buckets, and I'll describe them. One, which is very much aligned with what Microsoft is trying to do in our core business, is the whole area of cloud transformation, moving companies over to the cloud. And I think in this area, we are seeing a lot of activity in the startup side, and we are very active ourselves. This could be all the way from core infrastructure to build the cloud to companies that are helping transform enterprises to move over to the cloud, security in the cloud, monitoring, cost comparisons. So it's the whole gamut of how to get companies moved to the cloud. The second area that is interesting to us that we are working on is anything in business-to-business SaaS, and this sort of ties in with a lot of the initiatives we have around analytics with Power BI, with our CRM system, with Dynamics. So a lot of synergistic areas in and around the two I mentioned that we're looking at, but it's a very wide field of almost anything that touches business to business and the SaaS side. Mm-hmm. The third big area is what I would call productivity and communications. This is tied to our office business, but we are looking for new ways of communicating and being productive, whether it's an enterprise or whether it's in the consumer side. This is one of the areas where we are open to doing more consumer-led deals. The previous two areas were more business-to-business. So I view these as of three key pillars on the vertical side. And then we have two horizontal areas which cut across the three pillars I described. One of them is security, which runs across all the three areas, and the other one is AI and ML, or machine learning, which is becoming a facet of almost every new exciting business we see.
All right. Okay. Yeah. You can see those cut across lots of the other corporates we're seeing in this space. Well, of course, fintech and the Internet of Things and all those areas. Good. So people are so central to corporate venture capital, as you know. And in your introduction, you talked about being 12 years and up within the sort of Qualcomm area. Could you give us a bit of an introduction to the experience and skills of the team members that you've now got and what you look for in a CVC team?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the team we've built, in my mind, is an excellent team. We built it in less than 6 months. I think it's sort of a record for building up a corporate venture capital team. So the experience of the team members ranges from somebody like Leo De Luna, who has worked 15 years in the VC industry in sort of VC firms, secondary firms, sort of really a vast amount of knowledge that he brings to the team in the SaaS area. He's got a track record of many successful exits as well. Mm-hmm. We have Matt Goldstein, who came from Trinity Ventures, who has got a lot of experience looking at and helping investing in areas like containers, DevOps, security, fintech. So covers what we call the middle of the stack. Leo would cover the top of the stack. And then Rashmi, finally, it comes from experience at Intel Capital, but also on the operating side, she was in a couple of startups in senior business development roles, including Couchbase. So she covers both the investing side and the operating side, and she's got significant experience on the cloud infrastructure side. We have Moni Hasid in Israel, who's a veteran of CVC. He's been with many, many CVCs, including Motorola, Qualcomm, and now Microsoft. And we have Lisa in Seattle, and she's knows Microsoft in and out, has been working in Microsoft for many years. So it's a balance of, if you look at the team, it's a balance of folks who come from the financial VC industry to some that worked in the corporate venture capital industry and then some that have worked in Microsoft. And that combination provides the key ingredients for us to be successful both on the investment side and then post-investment, getting the right connections back to Microsoft.
Okay, well, that brings me to my next question, really, is that connection back into the core business. How do you manage that, and what types of people are you connecting with? What types of governance do you put in place to ensure, as you said, that the investments you make, that they become connected to Microsoft and become strategic? How do you work with people in the core business?
Yeah, what we have developed over the last 7 months and are building a team in Redmond in Microsoft to help connect the dots with a variety of the businesses. For example, we have a company that we invested in that within a week of our investment, we were able to get them a pilot going with Microsoft as a customer. That's one quick engagement we were able to get done. We have got a company that's engaged on the sales and marketing side where our sales teams are going out with the company and helping them in getting introduced to new customers. Because it's sort of a central form of how to drive Azure consumption. So these are just two examples, but what we are trying to do is post-investment, and sometimes even pre-investment, help the companies get connected to the right folks in Microsoft, either on the product team or the sales team, to start the relationship and get small wins, and then hopefully that will lead to bigger deals with Microsoft in the future.
And how are you planning to measure your sort of financial and strategic performance? So you're only 7 months in, but have you got a view on the metrics or the dynamics you want to make sure that you're feeding up to your executives?
From what I've learned in many years in corporate venture capital is that there is only one metric that is tangible that can be measured, and that's financial. So we are fairly early, and we're investing in early-stage companies, so I don't expect that we will have any significant financial metrics so early on. On the strategic side, what we have to do is build the infrastructure to make sure our companies are successful with Microsoft, and as we do more of those, we can start building case studies, but that is the best in terms of how to measure it. This is sort of not something that is easily quantifiable. An introduction to a Microsoft executive that leads to a lot of business either for Microsoft or for the startup is not something that is easily quantifiable, but it's something that we have to do, and that's part of the value add. What is quantifiable is if that startup exits and returns money back to Microsoft. So I think we will definitely measure that. And then we will try our best to develop a system where we can also show the strategic value. But that is sort of not an exact science, as you know, with many corporates.
No, that's right. Well, have you got any stories at the moment about any particular? Have you got particular examples of an investment you made where you can see the strategic benefit or the financial benefit from that yet?
The financial benefit is too early. We are investing at the A and B stage, so I would say it's TBD in terms of how we do. We are off to a good start with a healthy clip of investments, but in terms of when they will realize exits is sort of TBD. The other thing is, as a corporate investor, we are definitely more patient capital. We don't have any drive to get to exits. The idea is to be part of the ecosystem and help startups. So if exits, when they come, that's great, but there is no forcing function for us to drive a company to exit. On the strategic front, I already mentioned a couple of examples where I think there's been good engagement with specific companies in the portfolio, and I think in the coming months we'll sort of release some more details on that in terms of how the collaboration worked. But we're already seeing some early wins where both the company is benefiting and sort of Microsoft is also benefiting from the relationship. I think one thing I forgot to mention in terms of locations, we are sort of open for business in the U.S. We have locations in San Francisco, New York, and in Seattle. And then we have Israel also up and running. Those are currently the specific geographies we are investing out of.
Yeah, okay. So a bit of traveling around those sites and that. What do you manage to do to relax when you're not venturing, McGrath?
It's a great question because you mentioned travel. So I travel for work, and for relaxation, I actually plan vacations for the family to travel more. So that is my hobby is actually to do detailed travel planning. We love to travel as a family, and I'm the designated travel planner in the family, and I really love that. Part of my job, I've been to many, many interesting places, and I want to share the same experience with the rest of the family. So I end up taking them to almost not either the same places or many of the places surrounding them where I've been to and I've had good experiences to share the same travel with the family.
And is that traveling and experiencing the rough side of it, or is this five star?
No. Our philosophy is to stay like the locals, so we stay in apartments in neighborhoods that the locals would stay in, and we shop at the grocery stores in the neighborhood. So we try to be as integrated into the culture as possible. That's part of the experience that the family likes.
Excellent. Nagaraj, really appreciate your insights, and looking forward to seeing you in January when you're on the Academy and talking in more detail with the other corporates. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.